Welcome to the inaugural podcast in a new OncLive podcast series focused on gynecologic cancers. My name is Ursula Matulonis, and I'm the Division Chief of Gynecologic Oncology at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, Massachusetts. I thought a very fitting way to kick off this series, which is focused on GYN cancers, was to dedicate a podcast to what is new in gynecologic surgery, since surgery is a bedrock modality of treatment for GYN cancers. It is my absolute pleasure to have as my guest today Dr. Taima May. Dr. May received her medical degree from McGill University, completed her residency in OBGYN at the University of Toronto, and did her GYN oncology fellowship training at the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, which is where I was first introduced to Dr. May and was impressed, and still am impressed incredibly, with her surgical skills and how much patients loved her and love her. After fellowship, she returned to Canada to start her academic career at Princess Margaret and returned to Boston last year to now serve as the Director of Ovarian Cancer Surgery in the Division of Gynecologic Oncology at the Brigham and Women's Hospital. Dr. May is truly a fabulous surgeon, is wonderful to work with, and is a terrific colleague. Welcome, Taima.
Thank you so much, Dr. Matulonis, for this warm welcome. It's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor to be part of this podcast.
That's great. It's great to have you here. So surgery is really a big topic to cover in one podcast, especially surgery for all gynecologic cancers. I'm going to start off by asking you what you think are some examples of progress in gynecologic cancer surgery, and what do you think has impacted patients the most who carry a diagnosis of a gynecologic cancer?
Thank you. This is a really excellent question. I agree. I think surgery is an important part of the treatment paradigm for patients with many types of gynecologic cancers. And a lot of patients, about 80% of patients, when they're first diagnosed with a gynecologic malignancy, see a surgeon first and benefit from surgery, usually upfront, before deciding whether they benefit from any additional treatment. One of the biggest transformative pieces of surgical change that happened over the past 20 years was the introduction of minimally invasive surgery. So I think the laparoscopic platform followed by the robotic platform allowed surgeons to offer patients precise surgery, similar comprehensive cancer staging surgery, while doing it through minimally invasive means and allowing patients to recover faster from surgery without any compromise to cancer outcomes. Moving forward from that, past the laparoscopic and the robotic era, we now have sentinel lymph node mapping, which allows us to offer patients more precise lymph node biopsies. What that means is in lymph node mapping, lymph nodes are glands that drain tissue. And often we, as surgeons, remove a lot of lymph nodes in order to understand whether the tumor is contained to the original organ where the cancer developed or whether it has spread. This is an important piece of surgical biopsy that allows us to tailor treatment for the patients and understand whether the patients benefit from any additional treatments after surgery, such as chemotherapy or radiation therapy. However, those surgeries with lymph node, extensive lymph node dissection, which we used to do about 10 years ago or 15 years ago, would carry a lot of morbidity to patients with lymphedema and a lot of challenges in recovery from those surgeries. Now we have more precise sentinel lymph node mapping where we can use innovative technology and introduce a specific infrared dye that we can identify in real time intraoperatively to only remove the specific lymph nodes that are necessary to drain this cancer and stage the patients with equal precision, but with much less morbidity and a lot faster recovery.
Yeah, no, that is clearly a huge advantage, especially with the prevention of lower extremity lymphedema, which used to be a big problem. I want you to continue to talk about advances in GYN cancer surgery. I also want you to bring in and talk to the audience about the importance of being operated on by a gynecologic oncology surgeon. That's an important point that really needs to be stressed.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Matulonis. I agree. I think it's very important for patients with newly diagnosed, suspected, or confirmed gynecologic cancers, whether it's endometrial, ovarian, cervical, vulvar cancer, or otherwise, to be assessed by a gynecologic oncology surgeon. There have been multiple studies, and there have been large national studies showing that clinical outcomes, surgical outcome, and overall survival from the cancer are highest if the patients are seen and operated on by a specialist in gynecologic oncology surgery. And this is very important because the surgery is a very important piece of treatment. And the most important part of any surgical procedure is the decision. The oncological decision is really the cornerstone of the treatment. And we as gynecologic oncology surgeons always say, what is the patient benefit from? What is the most appropriate and the most beneficial treatment for this patient based on presenting factors, based on the tumor biology, and based on their disease distribution? And this piece of information is very important, and therefore patients' outcome are best if they're seen and operated on by the special oncology surgeon rather than someone who does not specialize in gynecologic cancers.
I think that's a really important point, and certainly really comes into play around the decision for, especially with a patient with an advanced GYN cancer, should that patient go to surgery first, or should a biopsy be done with the thought of doing chemotherapy first and then interval surgery? So do you want to talk about other examples that you think are really important aspects of improvement in GYN cancer surgery?
Yeah, in ovarian cancer, for example, there have been a lot of innovative technology. Ovarian cancer often, as you know, presents at advanced stage where patients have disease that is already spread throughout the peritoneal cavity, throughout the abdomen and pelvis. And oftentimes when we do these surgeries, it's what's called multivisceral resection, meaning that we have to remove multiple tissue and some organs in order to achieve good surgical outcomes, which are usually called optimal or complete outcome, meaning that all visible tumor is removed. And this is a very important outcome at the end of surgery where we can start the next phase of treatment, which often is chemotherapy, with no visible cancer. That allows the patients to recover and have better overall survival. In order to get through these surgeries with as little morbidity as possible, there have been a lot of surgical innovation and surgical techniques that have been developed. One of the techniques that we use, and I use very frequently in surgery, is called fluorescence angiography, where if we take a portion of the intestine or of the bowel, we usually suture the bowel back together in order to restore the bowel continuity, meaning not to have a bag and have the bowel sort of continuous. In order to assess that, we inject dye into the patient's blood system and look again in real time during surgery to see the blood flow into those fresh sutures in the bowel. It takes about 30 or 40 seconds, so it doesn't add to surgical time. It gives objective assessment of the bowel perfusion. So integrating those techniques allows us to say this patient would recover well, or we should revise this, or we should fix this before completing the operation.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing, since some of the, certainly the most catastrophic complications I've seen from surgery have been, you know, dehiscence of bowel loop. So that sounds like a very significant step forward. So Dr. May, you've talked about the, certainly, I think, advances in ovarian cancer surgery, and certainly the identification of lymph nodes, which we know can be applicable to many GYN cancers. There's also been a lot of progress made in the surgery for cervical cancer. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, thank you. In young patients, for example, with cervical malignancies, it's a challenging diagnosis when someone is facing a cancer diagnosis and at the same time still considering fertility options. So for patients who are of fertility age, depending on the stage of the cancer, there is a procedure called the trachelectomy, a radical trachelectomy, where we as gynecologic cancer surgeon can remove the cervix with the tissues around it, with the lymph nodes, without compromising the cancer objective, which is to remove all of these tissues with what's called radical dissection, so we can have negative margins and not leave any cancer behind, but at the same time, preserve the uterus where the person could get pregnant and then reconstruct the anatomy such that the uterine cavity is still functional and the patient would have the option to get pregnant in the future. This procedure has been pioneered in France, actually, in the 1990s, and then over time was done either vaginally or through an open approach. Over time, we were doing it more robotic and minimally invasive. There has been a very large important study in cervical cancer called the LAC trial that looked at minimally invasive versus open surgery in patients who are having a hysterectomy, not a trachelectomy, but a hysterectomy for cervical cancer, and found that the open approach was better for patients. Now, we did a study looking to see whether minimally invasive approach was safe and feasible in patients who are having not a hysterectomy, but this fertility-preserving trachelectomy. And we looked at about 200 patients who've had vaginal surgery versus robotic surgery. And because those patients, in order to qualify for trachelectomy, needed to have a non-aggressive form of cervical cancer and needed to have a small enough tumor where the reconstruction could be done, we found that this was a safe approach and the survival was excellent in those patients in both groups and was comparable to having had a full hysterectomy. So having a trachelectomy is a safe surgery for young patients who are still considering fertility while successfully treating the cervical cancer.
Yeah, I mean, that is so important since cervical cancer certainly is diagnosed and can be diagnosed in young people. They want to continue their fertility, maintain it. So that's really important. That's great work. I wanted to mention a paper published last year on kind of this ongoing discussion of neoadjuvant chemotherapy versus upfront primary cytoreductive surgery for patients who have newly diagnosed advanced ovarian cancer. And the article that you published was a retrospective study of about 300 patients with an underlying BRCA mutation and compared the outcomes of these patients based upon whether they had undergone primary surgery versus neoadjuvant chemotherapy, then followed by interval surgery. Can you talk about the results and whether this study has impacted how you treat patients?
Yes, thank you. As you know, I am very passionate about treatment for all gynecologic cancers and especially advanced ovarian cancer. Ovarian cancer is a challenging disease, a diagnosis. It does impact patients' symptoms and their quality of life, and it's a rapid symptom disease. So it is very important for us to efficiently assess the patient and personalize their care. We have looked at several factors where surgery could be beneficial over chemotherapy. We know that ovarian cancer treatment is a spectrum, and usually there's several options. The two cornerstone treatment modalities for advanced ovarian cancer is systemic chemotherapy and cytoreductive surgery, meaning debulking surgery where we remove all the visible cancer. The question is always which one to do first. And there have been some studies with randomizing patients looking at either or. I actually believe that because stage 3 and 4 ovarian cancer are non-reproducible, every person has their own disease distribution and their own tumor biology, we have to personalize the selection for each patient. Someone with stage 3C disease may have inoperable disease, and a different person with stage 3C disease may have very operable disease with excellent surgical outcomes. So assigning the same paradigm and the same pathway to every patient, I don't think is necessarily the right thing. I think every patient benefits from a comprehensive review of their clinical status, of their scan, and of the tumor biology. In patients who have BRCA mutations, whether it's germline or somatic, meaning whether it's in their blood or in the tumor itself, we know that those patients often are very sensitive. The tumor is very sensitive to platinum-based chemotherapy. However, what was always a question is, since they're very sensitive to chemotherapy, should we operate or should we operate upfront or introduce chemotherapy? And we thought this was an excellent question. So we looked at about 300 patients, as you mentioned, who had very similar disease distribution, very similar functional status. The primary surgery group was a little bit younger than the neoadjuvant group, but both were, the average age was in the 50s. So all fit young patients who've had surgery upfront followed by chemotherapy versus chemotherapy and surgery in the middle of the chemotherapy treatment. And we found that the overall survival was better in the patients who had primary surgery. I think this is a very important finding. We know that those patients do very well. And this would be one of the groups where hopefully this treatment with primary surgery followed by chemotherapy, followed, of course, by PARP inhibitors in this patient population as a maintenance treatment, could put the cancer in a very long remission. And there's a subgroup of those patients, hopefully, who would have no recurrence or a very, very long disease-free interval. So I think personalizing and maximizing all the data in order to give the patient the best chance to treat the cancer and treat it successfully is what we strive for and what we try to achieve at the very beginning of the diagnosis.
Yeah. I mean, I think you've brought up so many important points to the audience. You know, firstly is the importance of seeing a gynecologic oncologist for surgery who's got expertise in GYN cancer surgery. And then secondly, the personalization of treatment. And I know you have a tumor board every week where you go over CT scans and make that determination, you know, as a group. You lead that effort to determine should that patient go upfront surgery or biopsy, then followed by chemotherapy. And I think that's really important. I think only the gynec surgeon should be making this decision, not anybody else. And I think I've unfortunately seen patients where that doesn't happen. They never see a gynec surgeon when they come as a, you know, second or third opinion to me. So really important points. Dr. Mayer, we're going to wind this down because you've given us tons of, I think, really important information. Any last research tips or advances that you want to talk about from a surgical perspective?
Thank you, Dr. Malonis. I agree with your points. I think the field of ovarian cancer and gynecologic cancer in general is rapidly growing. There's a lot of exciting findings that we're finding in both in the surgical and the medical field. In surgery, we're using surgical innovation and integrating it as part of our decision algorithm into many surgical procedures that we do, including whether the patient needs an ostomy or not. So instead of using a personal opinion of whether the patient benefits from one procedure versus another, we have developed and continue to optimize and develop protocols to say this is the best algorithm for a patient, and these are the risk factors, these are risks of surgical complications and potential morbidities if the patient has the following factors. And if patients don't have those factors, and a lot of them are objective, meaning the blood test, the surgical innovative findings, and surgical outcomes and specific measurements, then when we can be reassured that patients would have a better surgical outcome versus patients need additional procedure and additional tests in order to optimize their outcome. So I think integrating surgical innovation into cancer surgery is a very important step because we have done studies looking at the importance of recovery from cancer surgery, not only for the patient to recover and, of course, have no complications and to return home faster, but to start chemotherapy or radiation therapy on time per protocol. And that is critical. So we work together as a multidisciplinary team to make sure the patient's journey is fluid without very little compromise.
Yeah. No, those are all great points. And I know you've done research on that as well. So we'll have to get back together and do a part two for this. But Dr. May, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to discuss what's new in gynecologic cancer surgery with our audience today. It's been a real and true pleasure. And I know our audience will benefit from your research and your expertise. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your leadership and for having me on it. I appreciate it.